from the book The Open Door of Emptiness by James Lowe. Chapter 3, Part 4, Practice. Meeting our actuality. In order to directly taste this, we enter the practice. So, just sit in a comfortable way. You can sit in an uncomfortable way as well. That means you just get a bit more sensation. Either way, something will be happening. Whatever's happening, we allow it to happen. Our awareness is open, relaxed, and balanced, without bias to subject or object. If we stay in the familiar conceptualization, I am me having this experience, my familiar sense of myself is the experiencer, you're starting with a prejudice, with a limiting identification. We relax into our basic state of open hospitality. We're hospitable to whatever is occurring, including all that we would normally take to be ourselves. That may sound a bit strange. I'm going to be hospitable to myself. Who is the one who is offering the hospitality? This is awareness itself. It is by being simply hospitable to everything that we awaken to the actuality of existence. Existence which cannot be defined or grasped. Existence which is beyond existence and non-existence. Beyond both existing and non-existing. Beyond neither existing nor non-existing. When we hold on to a particular definition of ourselves, we lose the infinity of ourselves. For how can the small contain the large? It's only the infinite, the awareness that we are, the presence that we are, that is able to contain everything. It does it all the time. So we sit. Usually, we sit with our gaze resting in the space in front of us. You can try sitting with your eyes closed as well. The main point is to relax into the spaciousness of presence. There is no fixed technique to follow, for each of us has to find our way of relaxing and releasing our habitual preoccupations and settling into the spaciousness. In Buddhism, there are hundreds, indeed thousands and thousands, of methods of meditation. The problem is that each method has been developed by someone for whom it worked. This doesn't necessarily mean it will work for everyone else. The practice is very tender, very intimate. You are letting go of identification with all that you have taken to be you. We simply observe how we get tied in knots, how we lose ourselves. Observe without judgment. Don't blame yourself or worry about what is occurring. Just see where you slip into thoughts and remain present without attempting to alter the situation. Everything that occurs is impermanent. It will go free by itself. So leave it alone. Whatever comes, comes. Whatever goes, goes. Just stay present with that. This simple practice is one you can do several times a day. It may seem that there's nothing to it, but actually, it is a kind of laboratory where you can actually see the very origin of samsara. You relax and open. There is only space. Then, interpretations, thoughts, sensations start to arise. They are moving in the space. Then suddenly, you're caught up in something for a while. That's where you can see the nature of attachment. Attachment is often said to be the cause of samsara, the cause of our limited experience of birth after birth. It doesn't merely mean attachment in the sense that I'm attached to my watch. The main attachment of this is that I'm attached to the process of taking the aspects of the flow of experience to be something I need or don't need. As we follow a thought, we get caught up in it. We become the thought. And with this, there is the forgetfulness of the openness of our awareness. The practice is to allow the thought to be there in the field of awareness without interference. When we are focused on one thing, we tend to lose the field. And when we have the field, then we are not connected with anything. This openness allows us to see that there is only the mind, which is space. This is the source and field of all appearance. If we are going to function in the world while maintaining meditative space, we need relaxed openness and the precision of engaging with and as different forms, moment by moment. Otherwise, you always want to be in a retreat in some way, in a quiet place where you can maintain things the way you want them. There's not so much benefit in that. When you get caught in experience, who is the one who gets caught? It's as if there is a forgetfulness of the ground of being, of the openness of our awareness, and then our consciousness and its object seem to be two separate entities. For example, I might find myself thinking about the heat of the sun shining on me. Oh, it's getting quite hot. The thought arises in this room on the basis of the sunlight coming in through the window. Within the open field of experience, some aspects are being privileged to the forgetfulness of others. There is a decontextualization and an over-specificity and over-investment in one or two things that are happening and a forgetfulness of everything else. We are ignoring both the source and the field of experience, and therefore are being trapped in the process of identification with a few aspects which are taken to be either subject or object. This is happening to me. I like it. I don't like it. And so on. This is how our normal sense of our identity tumbles on. We can be walking down the street while wrapped up in our own thoughts and feelings, so we don't see much that's going on. There's lots of different kinds of people. Changes in the architecture. There's shadows. There's colours. There's noises. but we are lost in our thoughts. Even if we are attending to the world, it tends to be a very selective attention, where we select and comment, telling the world, I like this, I don't like that, that's a terrible building, how could they even build that? Look at all those beautiful buildings. This is ugly. Our minds fill with opinions and judgments. This creates a particular quality of experience where one thought is following another, creating the illusion of the continuity of object as entity and the subject as entity. In the practice, when we find ourselves caught up in judgment, we just relax and give it space. We don't have to push it away, because all life is movement. No experience lasts more than a moment. There is the external movement of our body. When we speak with each other, there is the movement of the voice. Sound is movement. The body is movement, and the mind is movement as well. Subject and object are dynamic and ungraspable. We are the openness of presence, offering hospitality to the shifting patterns we take to be identity. No particular pattern of movement is the truth or provides all the answers. Therefore, you don't have to catch anything or try to hold on to it, for there'll be another and another. It's not as if you're ever going to get just one thought a day, and if you don't catch that thought, you won't get any more. It's not like that, is it? Experience is endless, endless appearance. We are part of it. And awakening to this fact allows us to participate without being either in control or out of control. When we're sitting in meditation, we tend to get drawn into something because it seems important. An arising thought might generate an understanding which is valuable. This is the point where you have to let go. Openness itself is the key point, and it is always available. Whereas these fleeting thoughts become distracting temptations if we imagine they have enduring importance. Due to our selective attention, it is as if the content has been separated off from the source or ground from which it is occurring. For example, when you look in the mirror, when you're cleaning your teeth, you just see your face. It's unlikely that you will enter into the contemplation about the nature of mirrors. You simply observe yourself cleaning your teeth. You take it for granted that this is me in the mirror. The invisibility of the mirror itself means that we don't see the reflection as a reflection. When you look at yourself in the mirror, you see yourself in the mirror as yourself. Of course, you know it's not you, it's a reflection. Yet you see you as you, because that's the immediate sense that we have. We fall into the reflection. We identify with it. And this is exactly what happens with our thoughts. We fall into the thought, and this seals it as something which is inherently true. Yet the thought is just a moment in the ceaseless chain of becoming, which is manifesting as the body, the voice, and the mind within the field. In the traditional Buddhist view, when our manifestation is cut off from its own ground, we become a sentient being wandering in samsara. We become an individual, somebody who is travelling, going here, there, looking for this, trying to avoid that. However, When you rest in the ground of your own being, then manifestation is clearly linked to the field, and the field is clearly linked to openness, the space within which the field of experience occurs. Openness is called the Dharmakaya. The field is called the Sambhogakaya. And manifestation, moment by moment, is called the Nimanakaya. These three aspects are inseparable, and this is the Buddha. It's not something high and transcendent and far away. It is the actuality of our life. Yet we don't get it, because we're getting something else. We're getting caught up in our stuff, in our habits, our interpretations. Actuality can't reveal itself to you if you're caught up in telling yourself who you are and the world what it is. You have to allow yourself to receive. It's the very richness and fecundity of our own creativity that stops us registering that we are part of what is going on. That is to say, we talk and think ourselves into our individual existence, but we're just part of what is going on. The illusory display of the heart of the Buddha. Teachings given at Bright Elm Centre, Brighton, UK, on the 2nd of December, 2012. Revised by James Lowe. From the book The Open Door of Emptiness, a collection of public talks and teachings by James Lowe. Read by Wendy, September 2025.